with the straight scoop on the Packers from the man who knows them best. It's the Mike McCarthy Show with Larry McCarron and the coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mike McCarthy Show, where the headline act is the Packers' upcoming game against the Indianapolis Colts. And, Mike, I think they qualify as an unfamiliar opponent, but there's a familiar name on the Colts. His name, Andrew Luck. What have you seen from their quarterback?
Well, I mean, obviously a special talent, one of the best players in the league. Uncommon opponent, like you've already stated. Frankly, doing some off-season work on these guys, getting ready for the Hall of Fame game. We're obviously hopeful to get a personnel evaluation there, but we know what happened with that. So a lot of new tape to look at. Really, it's something we have to deal with both Indianapolis and Tennessee when you get these uncommon opponents. But Andrew Luck brings a huge, huge challenge to our defense.
And whatever he's been doing, Mike, he's been doing it under duress. He was sacked like six times against the Chiefs last game. They've got 31 sacks on him this season. What are you seeing in that regard? There's an opportunity for your pass rush.
Well, I mean, it's like anything. You pay close attention to the matchups up front. Obviously, they've had some, interchanging parts in their offensive line. We both know they're very well coached with Joe Philbin there coaching the offensive line.
You must be going crazy with those sack totals.
Well, I mean, that's, definitely that's part of the game that you don't like. But the thing that you really got to focus on is, how you're going to attack the quarterback. Obviously, how's their injury situation going to shake out with their perimeter? That's all part of the game plan, whether you're in a four-man rush or a five-man rush plan.
Mike, I look at their defense, and on tape, they look like a lot of folks' defense, but numerically speaking, 28th in points, 29th in yards, 31st against the pass. What are you seeing from the Colts' defense?
Well, I see a veteran group. It's definitely, particularly with their linebackers, so you got some really good players, a lot of experience, so you can see the instincts and awareness. Physical in the back end with their safeties and corners. And, I think they got some injuries and some things they're working through in their front.
I want to go back to the offense for just a moment because another familiar name, but from another team. Frank Gore. Mike, the guy's 33 years old, which is ancient for a running back, but he still has some pep in the step.
I'll tell you, Frank Gore's a great player. I had the privilege of coaching Frank as a rookie, and I tell you, he's his instincts, the ability to run with a forward lean, it's exceptional. And still to see Frank doing it, like you said, at 33, I think it says a lot about the man.
Colts are 3-5 to date, and in the NFL, you kind of are what your record is. And when you're facing a team like that, Mike, do you kind of build them up for your guys, or do you say, here's a matter of fact, here's where they're good, here's where they're bad, and here's what we're going to do?
Well, I mean, you address the statistics, but really, once again, statistics that build a profile really tell you where to focus, and really, you're trying to match the statistics to the video. So we stay in tune with the why. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And then eventually just set our plan, because don't really get caught up in past success or past failures, both of the opponent and ourselves, because this is a new game. It's an important game for both teams. So we obviously both are coming off losses. And so we're gonna stick to worrying about what we do.
Well, that's a good thing because we're going to move the emphasis of the conversation to your team. What are your points of emphasis this week? Are there certain themes this week that are important?
Well, I mean, you're always hard on the basics. They're minus one in a turnover ratio. We're minus two. So we did a good job against Atlanta taking care of the football. We had the ball on the ground a couple times, so we need to build off of that. We got to do a really good job this week taking care of the football, and we got to get the ball out. You look at opportunities around the quarterback, that's the best opportunity to get the football because quarterback has every place, has the ball every play. But we got to win the turnover ratio. I think that'll be critical to being successful Sunday.
Something about the Falcon game. Aaron Rodgers, your leading rusher, 60 yards, 6 carries, I think, 10 yards per carry. Are we about to see the read option? I mean, we saw a little bit on that 2-point conversion, didn't we? What's your thinking with Aaron running the football?
No, I mean, that's, those are scrambles. Yeah. I mean, they're not called runs, except for the 2-point play. But, yes, he's taking advantage of what the defense giving him. He had some 3-man rush, had some man-to-man more in the second half, and enabled us to get some big runs there. So, Yeah, we're not going to make a living, you know, with him running. We're going to do it with him throwing the football.
Falcon game, Mike, from my point of view, you guys played a whale of a game, fought like mad, but came up a big play short. When it comes to coaching, how do you encourage, how do you promote the big play from your people?
Well, you just got to stay in tune of what you're doing. It's our job as coaches to create opportunities, train the players, and give the, you know, the information and the reinforcement to take advantage of those opportunities. So, and that's why you come in on Monday, you correct the video, you spend the time with the players, you get it cleaned up, and you move on to your Wednesday game plan.
Thank you, Mike. More of the Mike McCarthy Show coming up next.
I'm Lance Allen. Next up on the Mike McCarthy Show, our special guest, wide receiver Jeff Janis, who explains his expanded role in the team's offense and how he no longer has bragging rights for hunting season in his family. I'll explain that coming up. We are back at the Mike McCarthy Show, and this week's special guest, he is wide receiver Jeff Janis. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
How can you describe your year so far? You broke your hand in training camp. How do you wrap your head around everything that's happened to you so far?
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy year. You know, playing with the club wasn't very fun. You know, it kind of limits you on special teams from making tackles and things like that. But it feels good to get back in the flow of things at receiver, you know, not having the club off and being able to use my hands again.
I think your number for the Atlanta game was four. Four targets, four catches, and you played all but four snaps on offense. What does that do for your confidence, being out there that much?
It builds a lot. I mean, just to be out there with Aaron and, you know, him trusting you to make plays, it really helps your confidence. And I think going forward, it's going to help as well. And just looking at the film, we're going to build off that and try to get better.
And you had four catches against the Falcons, which equaled the amount that you had in the regular season for your first 2 years. Do you like your expanded role? Do you expect your role to maybe grow a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, whatever the coaches think they want me to do, you know, I'm ready to do whatever they want whenever my number's called, and hopefully I'll be able to go out there and make plays.
Jeff, I got to laugh a little bit because against the Falcons, it was your first official touchdown catch. Mm-hmm. We all know what you did in that Arizona playoff game, but apparently official NFL records state that your first official catch comes in a regular season game. Did it feel any different then for your first official touchdown catch?
I guess being in the regular season, it felt a little different than the Arizona ones. I mean, those were pretty big too. But yeah, it felt good to get in the end zone. I mean, as a receiver, it's always good to get in there, and to get your first one, it felt pretty special.
We always have to go back to that Arizona playoff game. What was that like for you? It just was such a special performance, and can you look back on it now and go, wow, that was incredible?
Yeah, I mean, now that I look back on it, it was a pretty special experience, and it's something I'm always going to remember. So, yeah, that's another thing, and, you know, just looking to build off that, whatever I did last year, trying to get better each and every day, and, you know, hopefully continue on in the future.
In that Arizona game, obviously, you had an expanded role because of injuries, and then this game you come in, and all of a sudden you realize, okay, you're going to be without Randall Cobb, and then Ty Montgomery, and you kind of find out late in the process. How does that kind of change your thinking? Is that a little bit jarring for you, just as your role can change at the moment of notice?
Yeah, I don't think it changed my mindset at all, other than the fact that, you know, we're down a couple guys, so there is no excuses anymore. You just got to go in there and make plays. So that's pretty much what I'm thinking the whole time.
Special teams, what type of animal is that, and do you have to be a little bit crazy to play special teams?
That's one thing I've noticed, that most guys that are really good on special teams are a little bit crazy. So yeah, I mean, that definitely helps you be effective on special teams. But you know, that's just one thing that I've tried to embrace, tried to get better at, tried to, you know, kind of hone in on my craft on special teams, because that's how you can stick around in this league, and that's something that I've tried to really get better at.
Because of your speed, a lot of times you're in on the tackle, or you're the first one down there on the returner. What feeling is that when you really pop a guy, hit a guy, or wrap a guy up, and they can't get any more yardage?
Yeah, that's something that we talk about on the team, is energy. And, I mean, that brings a lot of energy to our sideline. And if we can keep up that high energy, you know, it keeps our offense going, keeps our defense going, and we can capitalize off of that and make some big plays.
I got to ask you a little bit about Jared Aberderis. You came in with him. Your locker was next to him. You guys became friends. Well, what were your feelings like once Jared was going?
Yeah, it's always hard to lose someone like that. You know, like you said, we were pretty good friends. We'd like to do the same things off the field, things like that. But, you know, it's a tough business, and, you know, you just got to move on and wish the best for him.
And we got to talk about off the field. I know this is hunting season. It's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
How's it going for you so far?
Not so good so far. My wife shot one of the biggest bucks I have on camera when I was across the state, 4 hours away. She was up in the tree by herself, and she actually shot a pretty nice buck. So that was a pretty proud moment for me. I was pretty happy for her. So other than that, I'm still trying.
Can you say how big of a deer she got and how she has bragging rights now in the family?
Yeah, she definitely has bragging rights. She shot a 136-inch 10-point, which is about 120 inches bigger than my first buck I ever shot. So she beat me by quite a bit.
I know your schedule is difficult, but how often do you try to get out there, and what do you like the most about it?
For me, it's relaxing. I just like getting out there, sitting in the woods. You know, you get you away from the hustle and bustle of everything that's going on with football. It just gives you a little downtime to relax and just kind of take in the scenery.
That's awesome. Jeff, thanks for the time.
Yep, no problem.
And good luck in hunting season as well.
Thank you.
All right.
That.
Jeff Janis joining us right here on the Mike McCarthy Show. Larry and Mike with more in just a moment.
On second down, he takes the snap. Good protection initially. Pump fakes and rainbows on the right side.
Yes! Jordy Nelson, over the shoulder, at the 20, 15, 10, out of bounds. Jordy Nelson on his biggest play of the season. 58 yards downfield.
Welcome back, Mike. First quarter, first drive. You have second and 10 at your own 35, and you dial up a 58-yarder to Jordy Nelson. Can you give us the whys and where for us?
Yeah, definitely. We're in a regular personnel, fullback, halfback, two receivers, tight end. So with that, we're going to create a three-man side here with the motion by the halfback. So we want to attack them vertically. You can see they're in a 3-deep zone coverage. You know, the insert right here of their strong safety is a stress point in the coverage. So with that, we're trying to attack this backside hole right here. So we have Jordy Nelson in the 3 spot to get that done. So you can see we're in a scat protection, so everybody's releasing. You can see Rip down here gives Brian Blaugas some presence on their best pass rusher, Beasley number 44. We got a solid pocket inside. You can see Jordy has to navigate the linebacker, slips him clean, and he has to get over top of 22. And that's the key here is the angle. So Aaron buys him a little extra time here. Great throw. Jordy's right in the hole we're trying to hit. Excellent throw and catch. And now he's off to the races.
Is
big
that
play.
One of those plays, Mike, during game planning, that you say, we're going to go after him with this and we're going to go after him early with it?
Definitely. It's a 3-man concept. We had it up out of a number of different personnel groups. We called it probably 3 times in the game. Maybe the front side or the boundary concept was different, but it was something during that particular zone coverage we were trying to take advantage of. Second half, they went to a lot more man-to-man, so that part really wasn't there. But it's once again, you're always trying to stretch the field with 3 vertical routes, and that's one of our packages.
You mentioned it in the sideline view. I want to talk about this guy and the job he did on Vic Beasley, their best pass rusher.
Well, it just wouldn't be right, Larry, if we didn't talk about one of your offensive linemen here. So it's definitely, you see Brian, it's second and 10. Wide rush. He's got present by Richard Rogers there. So, and then Rip's going to be releasing on his route. But excellent set. You can see, once again, we're playing with crowd noise on the AstroTurf.
Yep.
And Brian does a great job. And really, our offensive line, we threw the ball 38 times against a pass rush unit that, it's a good defensive line. A lot of stunts, a lot of activity. And this is the type of pocket that we were able to play with most of the day. Great job up front.
And Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson for 58 yards. And 2 plays later, Aaron hit Jordy again for the first of his 4 touchdown passes. Thank you, Mike. And coming up, more with the Packers head coach. Stay with us. Welcome back, Mike. I got to call this segment True Grit because some of your guys really displayed it in Atlanta. The first guy I want to talk about, TJ Lang. He goes into the game hurting. He's got a hip issue. And eventually, a fourth quarter, he's got to come out. Sits out 3 plays. Comes back in. First play, he's got a pull. And one of their best players, Deion Jones, the inside linebacker, he obliterates the dude. Run goes for 6 yards. I thought that spoke volumes about TJ Lang.
Definitely. I mean, as we've talked time and time again about TJ, and it's been like this his whole career, he is definitely an old school type player. Just tough as nails. Took a wicked shot in the game. and was able to, like you said, took a few plays off, and it was kind of a funny deal where, you know, TJ goes back in, we were on a timeout break there, and Aaron, he was giving Alex Van Pelt all these weird signals. Either one of us knew what he was talking about, and he was worried about TJ pulling and so forth. And at the end of it, we just said, just run that ball. So, and TJ went up there, and it was probably one of our best runs of the game. And I thought Rip did a nice job fitting it in there. But, yeah, it was well-oiled, and I think it's a great illustration of the type of player he is.
Other guy I want to talk to you, J.C. Treader. Second to last play of the game, he takes a wicked shot to his knee. I mean, you watch it on film, and it hurts. It's painful to look at. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, that young man guts out the final play of the game, does his job. I mean, after the game, I saw him, didn't look good, didn't look pretty, and I thought that spoke volumes about J.C. Treader.
Definitely. We were very, very fortunate with the shot that J.C. took on a stunt there on the second to last play, and how he played through the last play is beyond me. But, I seen him in the locker room not knowing, the extent of what happened. You could tell he was upset, and there was potentially a very serious injury. So we're fortunate there. But just like you said, watching it on the video, it was a big-time shot that he took.
Mike, one other sequence I want to talk to you about that showed a ton of grit occurred during the second half. And I've watched this stuff a long time. I can't remember a safety stopping an NFL running back that has a head of steam smack dab in his tracks on the 1 yard line like Kentrell Bryce did. And then you guys follow that up with your defensive linemen like Mike Pinnell and LaTroy Guyon penetrating big time, following up a couple of Falcon runs, Jake Ryan coming in. I thought that sequence showed a ton of grit.
Definitely. I mean, Kentrell Bryce, like you said, full head of steam to make that hit there at the 1 yard line, and it stayed at the 1 yard line. And, first and second down, the goal line was an excellent stand. And frankly, just, trying to hold them out, they got in there on third down. So I think clearly when you talk about grit, you talk about the pursuit and finish, the way we're covering the football, all those things is a vast improvement from last year. And I think it's been a key to our success, and it's been a key to the quality of football that we've played this year.
Mike, there's a commodity like grit. Does that get talked about? Do you guys emphasize that kind of stuff?
Definitely. I mean, we have a team identity, and we talk about discipline, grit, and the fundamentals of football. So it's definitely part of our program.
Thank you, Mike. Coming up, more of the Mike McCarthy Show. In fact, a touchy-feely segment. You won't want to miss it.
Mike McCarthy's wardrobe provided by the Haberdasher Limited, the best quality men's clothing store in Green Bay, offering suits, sportswear, and tailoring for men. 335 North Washington Street, Green Bay.
Welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show, and as promised, a touchy-feely segment. Mike, did the kids dress up for Halloween? And if they did, what were they?
Definitely. Our youngest, Isabella, was Tinkerbell during the day because she obviously dressed up for school, and then she was a police officer at night. So she really got a kick out of that. She has public safety in her blood, so we all enjoyed that. Gabrielle was an Egyptian princess, so she was a very unique costume, well outfitted and designed by their mother Jessica.
Mike, dig into the memory bank. What's the goofiest costume you ever wore on Halloween? Or your favorite?
I think I was kind of a basic kind of guy. I don't remember anything extravagant. It was more about filling up your pillowcase and just running around and competing to see how many houses you can get.
Just a little, soap little windows.
But it was the night before. Yeah, we always did that before Halloween. So, yeah, I have great memories of Halloween, especially being growing up in an inner city neighborhood.
Mike, get back to the business at hand, the Indianapolis Colts. You mentioned Joe Philbin, one of our former assistants earlier. Also have Scott Tolzien. You're going to get asked about it this week. Yeah. Is that any kind of a factor? Do we put that to rest when Ben McAdoo brought the New York Giants here?
Well, I think, you talk about Ben McAdoo, coached the quarterback, and obviously knows the system. Scott knows the system very well. Scott is clearly one of the hardest working players I've ever been fortunate enough to coach. So, I mean, you're in tune with that, and players talk to each other and so forth. So, very, very, you need to be very aware. You got to heighten it a little bit when you know people on the other side have been inside your program.
Mike, good luck against the Colts. Thank you, and thank you for watching. Until next time, take care.